Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's your weekly-ish pop culture podcast. As always, it's your host Dom, aka Brother Dom, aka Young Nintendo Switch, aka the Patreon Pusher. That's patreon.com/character reveal. Throw some cash, me get a chance. And as always, I am joined by the illustrious co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey everyone, it is I, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, aka the Snow Queer on Tumblr, aka my head hurts too much to come up with other clever names. I'm tired and nursing a little bit of a cold.
Oh, that sucks. That's always unfortunate to hear.
Yeah.
Did you have a, besides that, how's your weekend going other than being a viral disaster?
Oh, yeah, other than that, pretty decent. I went to, kind of got to sleep in today as late as my cat would allow me. Had a fun D&D campaign yesterday. Saw a kind of mediocre show, but got a cool print out of it.
Very nice, very nice.
And didn't do anything at all productive.
that's the way it goes.
That's the goal.
I had a good weekend. Went out to eat on Friday. Went to a wedding yesterday because it's wedding season, and apparently, according to my timeline, there was like 6 other weddings this weekend. And my brother went to one and actually ran into a separate friend of ours that I didn't know was going to be at that same wedding, so it was pretty nifty, and just a lot of fun weekend. So kind of just slept in today too, played some Overwatch, got better, I feel like, so, you know, typical weekend stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's worth getting into the nerdy stuff from last week. So what do we want to start with? Movies and show stuff or kind of video games?
I'll start with movies and show stuff, but first off, I have to offer a correction to our one and only Patreon funder so far.
Oh, what did we do wrong? What did we mess up?
My lovely mother has finally begun listening to our podcast, and in the very first episode she listened to, I called her out for taking forever to read Good Omens on the book, and never actually mentioned in the episode that she did eventually read and enjoy the book.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. So I would like to apologize profusely to our producer, basically, for this error, this slight against her character. And with that, I think we can scooch over onto some other news.
All right. Let's go. So, yeah, we'll admit our mistakes, and other people admit their mistakes, too. That's pretty good. So this Hellboy thing.
Oh, smooth one.
Yeah, smooth as peanut butter, not crunchy peanut butter. Hellboy did some whitewashing, and the actor said, "Nah, B, you're not going to ruin my career, not for Hellboy." And they got a properly casted person of color to be this character in Hellboy, correct?
Yes, so, yeah, I think we discussed last week that Ed Skrein or Skrein or whoever, the guy who played Francis in Deadpool, was cast to play Ben Daimyo in Hellboy, who, as you might guess from his last name, is an Asian-American character. When presented with this fact, Ed Skrein said, "Oh, whoops, that's my bad, I wouldn't want to, I know that this is a problem, and I don't want to contribute to it, so I'm going to step down and put the onus on Lionsgate to cast someone who is actually Asian." And they did. They have, I think, signed up Daniel Day-Kim to play the character, which is especially nice because he had just actually left his previous gig on Hawaii Five-0, I think it was, because they were not paying him and his other Asian co-stars the same as the white ones.
This is junky.
Junky, but it's a nice, not only did they fill this position with the right type of person, but also coming off of like an unpleasant situation.
Gotcha.
He gets to be like fill a role that is actually good.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make any sense? Does that follow? I'm like,
no, I got it.
Okay.
You're stuff's good.
I've got cold brain.
Yeah, that's a good story. Here's another thing that's popping up. There's a movie called Red Sparrow coming out with Jennifer Lawrence. Have you seen anything about this?
I saw it mentioned on Twitter like 3 minutes before we started recording. and I'm really confused because it just looks like, for a second, it's like such the same aesthetic as Atomic Blonde that for a second I thought it was a screen cap from it, like the same like kind of pale like peroxide blonde character, the same kind of like washed out aesthetic in the shot. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, so someone told me, they're like, oh, I'll be damned if I go see a Black Widow movie that's not with the Black Widow we know, Scarlett Johansson, just because there's always that joke that's going to happen. I think anytime there's just a female spy led movie that leans towards fighty and not towards, I don't know, generic spyness, people are going to make the assumption that it's like a Black Widow movie just out of a joke, which is a funny joke because why don't we have a Black Widow solo movie? Not that I want to see it, but you'd think there would be one. So that's the biggest joke that I heard. But also, yeah, coming off the wake of Atomic Blonde, we're going to see that gross thing that companies do, which is, I guess, good for equality, since that if there's something successful, people will copy it tirelessly. So
almost exactly.
Yeah. So it's nice to see that they'll copy even female-led properties when they're like, but they'll make a non-bankable version of it. But that's all right. I guess Jennifer Lawrence is a seductress is one of the things that popped up with Google.
This character. Like, that's like so unbelievable to me because I don't like Jennifer Lawrence at all.
Yeah, neither do I. She's not my cup of tea. So if someone was like,
I would not find her seductive if she were attempting to seduce me in a spy movie or otherwise.
Yeah, so it's the IMDb, just in Google, it says it's a thriller. Ballerina Dominika Agorova is recruited to Sparrow School, a Russian intelligence service, where she's forced to use her body as a weapon. So it's a Black Widow movie. So it's
literally a Black Widow movie.
Yes.
Because there are other types of spy movie besides Russian ballerina is turned into a spy.
Yes, there are.
Like...
However,
there are even kinds of other Russian spy movies.
Yep, but now we're finally getting that movie. So, props to the world. We get it.
Thanks. I think
it's coming out in 2018. I'm not a Jennifer Lawrence fan that much, so I'm not gonna rush out to see it. But you know,
maybe someone will see it.
Maybe you'll probably see it to review it for the blog. Probably. Knowing you.
I'll probably end up stuck with that weight to carry.
There might be lesbians, so, you know.
I mean, there's always a hope. One can always hope for lesbians.
Some can.
Some can. I said one.
Yeah, you're right, you're
not
right.
Not we.
I don't hope for anything. I just kind of...
just exist.
I just exist on a plane. So what else would we get? We got J.J. Abrams directing episode 9.
Yes, so if you've listened to last week's episode, you heard my long rant about how what a generally terrible person Colin Trevorrow is, and why he should never have been picked to direct episode 9 to begin with, but there was still a void there, and who was going to direct it, and I mean, like, in terms of who should be directing it, like, I still would have preferred for this to go with, like, a woman director or director of color or both. Like, you know, like, there have been a lot of Star Wars movies so far and all of them have been directed by white guys. But if it had to be a white guy, J.J. Abrams isn't that bad of a pick.
You can be sure he'll give us what he's given us before.
Yeah, like, I appreciated The Force Awakens. I'm happy with the quality that it delivered to me. So, if he can just pull off that same level of quality a second time, I'll be set.
Yeah, he's a solid director. I'd like to see, I mean, I feel like directors get a lot more credit than they deserve in the sense that, like, there's writing teams and whatnot.
Yeah, like, they don't necessarily write the script, like...
And, like, you think about, like, I don't really know how movies come to be, so maybe I'm not the right person to ask, but we sometimes fault people for, like, oh, that was a weird way to direct that woman to do that. Why'd she do that? I'm like, that sounds like a script issue. Like, there's not there's not much that could have been done about that other than not doing it sometimes. So I feel like we need to always keep trying to push for more women and people of color and women of color to be on the writing staff as well.
Yeah, definitely.
In the sense that, like, I mean, I could direct a movie starring women, and as long as the writing was good, it wouldn't be the best choice. Obviously, you'd rather have a woman direct, but I could at least say, oh, well, you see the script, do what the script says and make it believable. I'm just here to collect a paycheck, fam.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, it could be worse, and that's all I can ask for is that it's not as bad as it could be.
That's where we're at
now. But there is some good directing news out there, or like actively positive as opposed to passively not negative.
What do we got?
Patty Jenkins has officially signed on to direct Wonder Woman 2.
Dope.
Very excited. There was so much hemming and hawing over whether it was going to happen, but I'm so relieved. And it's actually going back to the writing versus directing thing. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that Zack Snyder wrote the Wonder Woman movie.
I feel like we talked about that before. Like,
yeah.
I think the dude can, like, halfway write. That's what's confusing.
It's just his directorial vision that is grim and horrible. So, like...
So, for instance, like, what I would feel... Because directors work in the editing room, too, with the video people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like whoever... So, the whole... Did Joss Whedon write Avengers Age of Ultron, or did he just direct it?
I don't know, but I'm going to go ahead and say that he had some kind of writing credit.
Okay, because I'm thinking of, like, the stuff like the falling into the boob scene, that's a writing problem, but, like, the zoom-ins on, like, Black Widow's butt are, like... Well, I'd call those errors, but, like, with how much they zoom in on Black Widow and Captain America's butts, I think there's just, like, a butt thing going on in that movie.
Someone just likes butts in the cinematography room.
Yeah, I'm not going to particularly say that is the most sexist part of it, but the zoom-ins on, like, cleavage or something are, like, a directorial issue. Which again, comes down to the weird thing that Zack Snyder can, like, halfway write a script with women in it. It seems like he's better at writing scripts with women than men.
Yeah, like, there's the solution. Like, instead of having movies with all guys in them and one woman, lean on what you're talented at, Zach.
Well, he also wrote Sucker Punch, so I mean, let's pump the brakes.
True. Just kidding.
And
we're back at square one for poor Zack Snyder.
I mean, have you seen Sucker Punch?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Was it, like, particularly objectifying, or was it just garbagey? Because, like, I don't remember any too much from it.
It wasn't, like, too much, like, sexualized objectifying. It was just kind of, like, weird, lolly kind of objectifying. With, like, a lot of unpleasant ableist undertones and, like, anti-sex worker undertones and... like rapey kind of undertones.
Yeah, I think we've also progressed past that, which it wasn't that long ago, but I do think we've come a little bit further since, what was that, 2006 maybe? I was in high school when I got that. So I think we've come further, but from what I recall, he thought that movie was like really clever and genius. So I feel like he was like, ooh, if I put them in a schoolgirl outfit, that speaks to like some symbolic thing. You're like, well, I see why you think that, but it didn't come out that way. It just came out.
But you were wrong.
It just came out kind of pervy. Sorry. So why Patty Jenkins and not somebody else? Like, did they specifically pick her? They didn't want to try a different female director? Was there any impetus to that?
There was so much positive groundswell for what she did with the first one.
Why change it?
That it would have been, yeah, like, why change it? And it also would, I think, would have looked, like, I mean, they let Zack Snyder direct Man of Steel, and they're still letting him direct.
Yeah.
Movies. So if they were, like, if they were to let a guy direct a mediocre movie and then continue to direct further movies based on the moderate success of the first one, like, to take away a franchise from a director... who directed a really good movie that was a unquestionable financial success and give it to another one would be a super bad look, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I just feel like they could have tried pulling the, like, you know, we want to give so many women a chance. We're actually trying to be diverse. I mean, that would have blown up in their face because they're like, what about all your other movies? And they'd be like, haha, whoops.
Yeah, like, couldn't you let a lady direct the Justice League movie or the Flash movie or... There are lots of other movies that you could be giving these to direct, not just DC movies, but Warner Brothers movies.
Not just ones that star a female character. They can direct male characters.
Yeah, it's almost like if guys think they can direct... Like, that's the thing, like, I think I keep coming back to this, like, over and over again in arguments, is that, like, the difference between guys directing female characters and women directing male characters, and the same thing, like, in book writing, like, women writing male characters versus men writing female characters, is that the white male experience is socialized into all of us as, like, the experience.
So we can handle that.
So, like, there's a difference, like... of familiarity between a woman writing a male perspective.
Yeah, because we've just seen so much of men, we can figure it out.
Yeah, like, that's, like, considered, like, the norm, so it's, like, it's the story we've seen our entire lives, like, whereas men still seem to have such trouble visualizing the interiority of women, like...
And I don't understand that, like, it's...
If I see another bestseller... that is, like, a woman, like, thinking about, or, like, described by, or, like, spending a lot of time thinking about, like, her perky breasts.
That's a strange thing.
I just don't understand it. The only time I think about my boobs is when, like, it's hot and I'm sweaty. Like.
Yeah, I don't feel like, I think that's projecting, probably, because dudes think about their junk kind of frequently, but not as frequently as women do in these books, which is, like, even more specific.
This is, like, it's just, like, as a dude, they're like, well, if I had boobs, I'd be thinking about that all the time. Like...
I don't think that's true, in the sense that, like, I don't know if you would. Obviously, if you started to now, yeah, you would, because...
Yeah, that's, like, that's what I think. It's, like... What's like, I'm imagining what would it be like if I had boobs, and I'd be like, holy shit, I love boobs.
Well, I gotta wonder, if you had a different gender's secondary characteristics, would you, like, once you became aware of them, would you, like, is it kind of like how you don't consciously think about your tongue, even though it's, like, constantly there? You're like, oh, yeah, I use this a lot, it's always there, it's ever-present in my life. You do so much in your life to make sure that your tongue does not take damage, you don't drink hot stuff, you don't bite down the weird way. But if someone's like, when's the last time you thought about your tongue, you'd be like, I don't know. But it's like, it's always, I don't know, just trying to think what the rationale is. But like cartoons and stuff, like male writers seem to be able to, like, kind of figure out women in a not super weird way. I just think about, like, Alex Hirsch, he wrote Mabel pretty good.
it's one of those things. It's like an almost, like, I don't want to be like, not all men. Not all men are bad at writing female characters. Like, Alex Hirsch is a great dude, had, like, great series. Like, Greg Rucka is, like, my favorite writer of both Batwoman, who is a lesbian, doubly removed from his own experience, and Wonder Woman. Like, his superheroines are just fantastic. Like,
I honestly don't think it's that, like, if you can write, I mean, I can't write that well, like, fictionally, so mm-hmm. If I write a guy, it's not going to be, I could write my literal experience to people, but, like, this seems a little bit stilted, so I understand if I wrote a woman, it might not come off correct, but you'd also be like, this guy's not a very good writer, like, it has nothing to do with the gender stuff just yet, that's there, but we'll get to that. But, like, if you can write male characters super well, like, you should, like, just literally read any other book, and you should be able to, like, write a passable woman, because especially since if your book isn't going to pass the Bechdel test to begin with, and your woman's pretty much in the sexy lampshade category, why, like, the little bit of text you're giving to her, how is it that bad? Like, you're not writing dialogue from her perspective that frequently, how did you mess up what little you had to work with?
Yeah, and also, like, I feel like there's such a imbalance between, like, I feel like to some extent, and I'm probably going to write a post about this at some point, so I don't want to, like, dive too deep into it here, but, like, I feel like people do not take research seriously.
Oh, absolutely not.
Their books. Like, if you're going to write, if you're determined to write from a certain perspective, talk to the people who have that perspective and learn. Like, no, it doesn't necessarily always have to be, like, one person writing exactly from their perspective. Like, I totally support and embrace the Own Voices movement and publishing, for example, which is, like, writing books that are published with a protagonist who has the same perspective as the writer. But, like,
that doesn't mean no one should be able to do it, you know? Like,
yeah, and it takes the onus, it puts the onus on marginalized writers to only tell their stories in two ways. Like, A, it takes the onus off privileged people to write books that have those kind of characters and stories in them, and B, it doubles down on marginalized creators when they write stories that are about other things.
I think someone put it very specifically, like, we're able to write from, I mean, we're still kind of changing it, but you look at all the fiction we have, like, it's the joke, like, how is it that you can have dragons, but you can't have, like, women not being sexually assaulted, or people of color, period, like, you can't say that you're sticking to realism when there's, like, a fire-breathing dragon, or an alien man that turns into a giant gorilla, or, like, hedgehogs that run super fast, or, you know, anything in superhero comics. So, like, if you can, like, Stan Lee was never a genius billionaire who could fly a robot around, right?
Mm-hmm. But not to the best of my knowledge.
You know, Zack Snyder was never an alien who flew around and got in fights with a guy dressed as a bat. Like, that never happened, but he was able to figure it out. So to say that you can't figure out female writers or female characters, people of color characters, to say that you can't do that means, and I understand, oh, I don't know if I want to ask a person from this demographic how I would feel. You can just find something. Just literally find any piece of content that exists. Like, I don't know how I would write a female character, but you could probably open up, I don't know, something old school. Just open up Jane Eyre and see how those people talk to each other. It's not going to be great, but people would be like, this was believable at one point. You at least tried. Like, I don't feel like it's that difficult of research to give people an out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ugh. God. Anything else on that?
What else?
PJ?
No, that's my hot take.
Glad she's on it. Anyway. And last but not least, we record on a Sunday again because we switch our schedules, which kind of sucks because Rick and Morty comes out on Sundays.
So you no longer get to react to them.
And currently, but I can talk about last week's.
Yeah.
Oh boy, was that a doozy. That was a hell of an episode.
He won't tell me what happened because he knows that eventually, one day in the far reaches of my life, I will watch Rick and Morty.
Oh, spoiler alert to anybody listening. Jump ahead like 30 seconds, but I'll tell you what happens. Who cares? So, in the Szechuan episode, or probably skipped it like ahead a minute and a half. Back in the Szechuan Nugget Sauce episode, Rick escaped jail by teleporting the Council of Ricks into the Galactic Federation space station so that, like, you know, if they inhabit the same space, obviously stuff gets destroyed and, like, lets out all kinds of prisoners. So a lot of Ricks and Mortys died, a lot of aliens died, and then Rick overthrew the government by changing their dollar to, instead of being equal one, it equaled zero, which just caused a lot of errors, and the Galactic Federation pretty much blew up, like governments would do.
R.I.P.
So a few episodes later, Rick and Morty go on an adventure to Atlantis, but we don't see that. We see what's going on the Citadel of Ricks, where there's tons of Ricks and tons of Mortys. And basically, there's, like, four separate stories going on, which I want to write a post about this. I'm not sure what angle to take it, but Evil Morty from a few seasons ago, actually, we don't know it's him, but he sort of wills and deals away to become the first new president since the, council was in charge, and now Evil Morty is in charge of the Citadel, and we know that he hates Ricks, and so we have no idea what's going to go on, but it was like, they played, like, a little creepy song when he was on there, last time, and then, like, as he's, like, you know, doing his new overthrow of, like, the shadow government, you, like, play this piano chord, and you're like, I know these keys from somewhere. And then, during, like, the last shot of the scene, you hear, like, this haunting voice, like, oh, shit, it's the song from Evil Morty! And then you're like, oh, this is kind of, like, a huge, thing. So it's kind of cool. And so nice. I'm looking forward to see what they do with this. But, you know, it was full of all kinds of, like, callbacks, tying up, not necessarily tying up threads, but bringing back other stuff. What I did find interesting, though, is they did four stories the way that I see it. So they had basically a story that was just Morty's going about their life, one that was just Rick's going about their life, one that was one Rick in a world of Morty's, and then one that was one Morty in a world of Rick's, right? So you saw different things kind of play out, and the Mortys, for lack of a better word, are marginalized up there because they're seen as dumber and less capable and that sort of thing. But you saw, like, similar hierarchies form within the Ricks, because since they're all geniuses, you would think, you have some of them doing, like, really menial jobs, and you're like, this doesn't seem like what's supposed to be happening. Like, they're, like, working in a factory, just, like, pulling levers, and I'm like, these guys figured out interdimensional travel. How are they just doing this? So it was kind of weird. So the Mortys are on their adventure. It was a parody of Stand By Me. Their adventure was, like, full of bliss, self-discovery. It was just kind of nice. The one Rick that was in a world of Mortys, that was like a play on, I can't remember the movie, but like a Wire sort of a show. Something like there's a cop falling around, a crooked cop, and the Rick kind of sees, like, oh man, this Morty went crooked. He's like in a seedy underbelly in like sort of a ghetto sort of neighborhood. And you just see him trying to be more optimistic kind of thing. Obviously, the Morty that's in the world of Rick, he becomes president. And is very, like, sly, cunning, manipulative, kind of becoming more like them. In the world of Ricks, everyone's just kind of screwed over because everything's super cynical. So it's just kind of interesting to see how the Rick around Mortys became more like them, like, more empathetic and nice. The Morty was around Ricks became more cynical, more cold, and the people that were left to their own devices just kind of pulled away from the other one. And I just found it a very compelling way to tell a story. And then the Rick and Morty we follow, we see that they came back from Atlantis. Like, that was a great adventure. Good thing we didn't worry about what's going on up there. It'll probably have nothing. Probably won't have any effect on our lives ever again. And people found that the season finale is called... They always, like, put, like, Rick's name into, like, the title, like, the Rickshank Rickdemption or Total Rickall. This one was called the Rick-Landis Mix-Up. And so we didn't see what happened in Atlantis. But the season finale is called the Rick-Turian-Morty Date. So, like, Mentoring candidate. Yeah. And just the title is Rick has a run-in with the president. So we're like, ooh, dun, like before dun, dun. We would have thought it was Earth's president, yeah. But now we're like, oh, is it the Morty president? And the Mentoring candidate, from what I understand, is about controlling people with like nanochips. And we've seen evil Morty do that.
As someone who has also not seen the Mentoring candidate, I'm pretty sure it's about like kind of like a person who's groomed like to win an election, basically, like by a outside force. It's kind of like our current president.
Okay. So yeah, Morty kind of came to power in this episode by sort of being talking about like how divided the world was, the Citadel, and people said it kind of had tones of Obama speeches and also Trump speeches. So they're kind of like doing somewhat satirical look on this, but not anything too specific. So it was kind of interesting. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. And on that note, would you like to go to a break?
Yeah, let's do that.
Cool. So here's some music. As always, it'll be in the show notes, and we'll be right back. It's going down, fade to black streak. The homie got at me. Collaborations are crazy like taxi. No doubt, I put it down, never slack. Long as my socks match, you never hear a rant coming whack. Tell me who can stop when ram making moves. Attract you honeys like a tractor beam. Multiple eargasms are happening. Still bringing this flavor what? With Professor Shy Guy, the original 8-bit singer. Sure to get down, good lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bet you don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the pound. Getting paid is a forte. Each and every day, Nintendo play away. I can't get her out of my mind. Well, think about the girl all the time. Well, east side to the west side, pushing fat rides, and it is no surprise. She's got tricks in the stash, stacking up the cash. Fast when it comes to the gas. Vroom, vroom, by no means average. She's on it when she's got to have it. Baby, you're a perfect 10. I wanna get in. Can I get down so I can win? I like the way you work it. So welcome back to this show. As always, the music will be in the show notes. You should go check it out. Go support artists. We're here to talk about some video game type stuff, or just games in general. And you sent me this thing that I think I saw before PAX, but didn't really think about it.
This one's not so much news as it is news to us.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. There's a Scott Pilgrim card game coming out. Ooh. It seems to be like a deck building game, and it's not out yet, but I do think people got to play it at PAX West. I just love Scott Pilgrim, and I like deck building card games, I think. Sort of like,
you think you like them, or
if that's what they're called, basically like all the cards are already in the box. Like, you don't buy, well, I mean, you could buy booster packs and stuff like that,
but it's not like Pokemon.
No, it's not like Pokemon. It might play like Pokemon, but all the stuff's like in the game. But what it seems like, you get your character and you get some cards to go with them, but there's a lot of stuff that's just in the box that you could use, like anybody could use, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems pretty nifty. It has like all the charm of Scott Pilgrim, one of my favorite series. This is so much later for this to come out. Like, this isn't a,
yeah, surprisingly belated,
like, it's not like a running franchise.
Yeah, it's not like it's like had like a, I mean, it's probably close to its 10th anniversary, but it's not like it's,
yeah,
it's actively celebrating that.
Maybe it is,
who knows.
When did the movie come out? The movie came out 2010, so it's about 7 years.
So nothing really, unless they're like, oh, 7 years, seven X's.
You know.
7 years of seven evil X's.
That'd be great. But yeah, so there's that. It'll be fun to play. They're probably seeing how much stuff's coming off for other cartoons and that sort of thing, and realizing we can still capitalize on that.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's definitely a nostalgia brand around that.
Yeah, and Brian Lee O'Malley still makes stuff, like he makes Snot Girl and stuff like that, so he's not just like lunching. So there's,
I've
that.
I've heard very good things about, but have not read yet.
Scott Pilgrim or Snot Girl?
Snot Girl. I've read, you lent me Scott Pilgrim, I read Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, okay. Well, Snot Girl's apparently pretty good. Again, Brian Lee O'Malley, apparently pretty decent at writing female characters without them being like any more gross than like his male characters. Like, Scott Pilgrim was kind of a dickhead, but like Ramona was kind of a jerk, but not in
a sexist way.
Yeah, she just had like baggage. I don't remember there being any, but he was like specifically problematic for, as like a girl character. Like, they may have been problematic in the sense that like some of the stuff was written in 2004. That's all right. There was a Nintendo Direct last week. It was pretty cool. Ooh.
Is this the one where we got to see Mario's nipples?
Yeah, that's... I hate the internet.
I'm sorry, that's the only thing I saw of Nintendo news this last week.
No, that's funny in and of itself to me. I just hate, like, how there's... I'm gonna get in trouble.
The subjectification of men on the internet.
Oh, no, I don't care if men are objectified. No. Like, that's what Link's for. No, I hate how there's, like, such a specific way that you're allowed to be horny in the nerd space. So it's not so much like, oh, it's fine to objectify men, but not women. Like, no, it's not that, because some women get objectified by certain spheres in gaming, and it's all right. I don't know. It's just a pet peeve of mine how certain things seem to be all right, and I'm like, I can't tell why those ones are. it's whatever. But yeah, I guess Mario has nipples, and that didn't even register with me. It's like, whatever, why wouldn't he? And apparently, I mean, Link
has... The swimming homos didn't have nipples.
Well, I mean, that was anime. Nobody has nipples in anime. Except for, like, the professor from Kill la Kill. Maybe.
Those glowy ones?
Actually, I think people in Kill la Kill had nipples sometimes. Gamagori did. Except when everybody was naked at the end, then nobody had any lines to define anything. But, I think someone said that, Link had nipples in, like, Skyward Sword or some previous game. So it's like, it's just a stylistic choice why you didn't end this one.
There's an established Nintendo style.
Yeah, well, there's like, sometimes it's cel-shaded, sometimes it's not. But yeah, so there was, that's, we did get to see that. There's a lot of 3DS news, which people are like, so are we keeping the 3DS or not? Like, is the Switch supposed to replace it? I know you said it's not, but like, come on, Nintendo, like, what are we doing here? I pulled up a list, there's a lot of stuff on there. We got some new Splatoon 2 weapons and stages, of course. Some new stuff for that game, Snipper Clips. there's Mario on the 3DS. The top 100 Mario Party minigames are going to be on a collection. which is an odd thing, but
that's a lot of minigames.
Yeah. And some of them from Nintendo 64, of course, so they're going to be really easy to port over. We got to see the stuff for Super Mario Odyssey that's continuing to look good. Apparently the hat that has eyeballs has a sister who is Peach's tiara or something. Whatever.
Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, sure. There's a MOBA coming out on Switch, which is a multiplayer online battle arena. So like your League of Legends, Heroes of the Storm, your Dota 2, that kind of stuff. Xenoblade Chronicles got some stuff. You're finally getting a date for Skyrim on the Switch, because Skyrim's out on every system that it can physically be on. Just a lot of stuff for Nintendo. More Amiibo news. We're getting those. I think we're getting the sexy fish from Breath of the Wild coming out.
Oh boy.
So
I've had a whole evening of sexy fish. I watched the Shape of Water trailer for the first time right before we started recording, and so I'm just like, the sexy fish thing is just like.
Why do people want to bang right fish so much?
In my head. I don't know.
Because I guess I guess this is how we're answering the question. Everybody wants to bang a mermaid, but no one, you know, you can't bang the fish.
You can't bang a mermaid, yeah.
So like, well, it's still a mermaid if it's half fish on the top. And you're like, oh, I guess so. It's finally time for Garrus to shine. Garrus from Mass Effect. Golly gosh. Also in video game news, a friend linked me, Crypt of the Necrodancer is coming to Nintendo Switch.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh snap, Dom's gonna yell.
Yeah, I was pretty psyched. And it's coming with all the DLC and all that, which I haven't been in such a generation where I've wanted to buy the same game multiple times, but I ended up doing it for Sonic Mania, and it's two different experiences, playing it handheld versus on the computer with a controller. Crypt of the Necrodancer, I think, will be fun again to try it on the Switch, kind of a handheld sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it'll basically just be like the PSP version. So, also, I found out that this was available in an update on Crypt of the Necrodancer. I didn't realize this, but remember that rhythm game I was playing at Tekko? There's just two big buttons. You can either jiggle them or press them. So I have that on my phone as well. I want to think it's called Rhythm Coaster. What's it called? Groove Coaster. And there was a game, there was a song on there that was like Danganronpa, Crypt of the Necrodancer. I'm like, that's, what is that? So I researched it, and apparently there was a Danganronpa mod for Crypt of the Necrodancer, but it was only in Japan on the PS4 and PSP releases. And I'm like, that kind of sucks. I want that. So it's finally in America. So what it does is replace all the tracks in the game with Danganronpa tracks. And the lobby theme is the version that I played on that game. So yeah, I have Danganronpa songs in my Crypt of the Necrodancer. It's amazing.
Nice.
Yes, that's why not have that. And you can even change some of the sprites to be like some of the characters too, so it's nice. And I don't know if that'll be on the Switch. Hopefully it'll just more content's always nice to have.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you done any video game stuff in the last
I haven't even read Overwatch fan fiction in the last week, let alone done any actual video game stuff. Well, I mean, I did level up to level 30 finally in Pokemon Go.
That's video games. It's
a long time coming. That's video games. But other than that,
nothing
very exciting.
Oh, Anna and Junkrat are coming to Heroes of the Storm, which is Blizzard's like MOBA. It's a big crossover. So there's like Warcraft characters, Overwatch, Diablo. And whatever else they have. StarCraft. And D.Va got a new skin, which is like crossed with something from World of Warcraft. So she's like a fire demon looking thing.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that on the Twitters.
And Junkrat is getting one too when he comes in.
Nice.
And everyone's like, yo, Blizzard, small thing. You know how we keep telling you that Zarya has no good skins? She has good skins in Heroes of the Storm. Can we just get those? Like, it's not like the skins have to be canon to anything. Like, you know, can we get those, please?
Also, like, D.Va already has like 900 excellent skins.
She has some good skins, yeah.
Some good skins, but like, she has a lot. She has several cute skins as opposed to.
I'm just checking. It's just that Zarya's, in my opinion, are just really garbage. I like her Olympic one and her like Iron Man one from the anniversary, but on the whole, like, her skins I don't think are that good. But D.Va is the one where she's a palanquin. There's Police Officer D.Va. There's Cruiser D.Va, which is kind of cheesy but cool. I mean, even her standard skins are good. Like, her carbon fiber recolor, I just think is super awesome. But Zarya doesn't have that much. Zarya and Hanzo just kind of don't have anything that's, like, that I'd go out of my way to get, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I guess neither does Lucio, really, other than his Olympic skin. But that's all right. The Jazz one was cool, but it is a little bit tacky, let's be real. Also,
poor Jazzkin.
There's too much on his hips. Like, if they took the horns off, it would be almost like probably mm-hmm. perfect. Also, you like the Junker Queen, right?
I did. I was a fan of the Junker Queen. Yeah,
D.Va has two Junker skins, which when they put like the little info tags on there, I think I talked about it before. Little like informational tags. Mm-hmm. They were like she has these, and they're like, oh yeah, Junker battles or whatever, like cruiser, like deathmatch battles are a very popular thing in Junker Town. And it's like, why does she have one of these skins? Why is there a hint to it already? That's kind of weird. But yeah, that's how D.Va's related to the Junker Queen. She has apparently participated in mech battles down there.
Nice.
So that's cool. That covers us up a little bit. That gives us more info. Yeah, this is a dope skin. A lot of stuff to cosplay. A lot of stuff coming up. For Fantasy Fest, this is worth telling the fans, I guess. I want to do a costume of Rick, because he kind of vaguely time travels. That's vaguely on brand. And I might modify my lab jacket to look like the Council of Rick costumes. And there's even like a new altercation on them. Alteration, not altercation. They got an altercation which caused an alteration. I might pop that on there, so that could be something cool. How about we go into a music break and then come back with some regular jazz?
It's a music break and then jazz.
I didn't mean to do that, honestly didn't. I've been purposely trying not to make that pun, but yeah, here's some music.
Them tunes. It's tunes with a Z, not with an S.
Okay then. Here we are.
Here we are in 2017. Some fresh Kidz Bop era naming conventions.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea. I haven't even taken any cold medicine yet. Because Kidz Bop is spelled with a Z too.
I know. Kidz.
Kidz these days. Kidz.
With two days with a Z.
You get anything cool this week, Dom?
Professor Shy Guy did a sale this week for his birthday, I think. Maybe it was last
week. Happy birthday, Professor Shy Guy.
Happy birthday, man. And so he had everything on his site, Pay What You Want, on Bandcamp. Which means you can cop everything for free, but I'm like, it doesn't feel right to just take this dude's music, like when I've shaken his hand on two occasions and been on his stage before. So I did throw a fiver on one of his old albums, which again isn't a lot, but man, times are tough.
Times is hard.
But everything's better than zero, I believe. But it's called Rhythm and Bloops, the album that I bought, and it's a bunch of old, like, 90s era, early 2000s R&B-ish type songs, but, like, replaced with chiptunes, and, like, all the features are replaced with, like, Mega Ran or Samus or Tribe One, like rapper, like nerdcore rappers and singers and stuff like that. And some of the words are changed every here and there to like be more nerdy, but it's like kind of cool without being cringy, I think. So definitely nice. So I'm gonna be listening to that for a little bit.
Nice.
What about you? You get anything cool this week?
It's just this cold.
Nice. Nice.
It's been like I worked a lot of overtime this week, so I haven't done much exciting or much shopping. But
I mean, that's fair.
I'm starting to wonder if the it's been I did get a flu shot, but I think it's been long enough since I got the flu shot that this isn't like these are like flu-like symptoms, like vaccine bumpy symptoms. I think it's just I've worked a lot and I'm very tired. And
yeah, I think you just caught a cold.
My immune system was down, yeah.
But it's not influenza, so, you know.
So at least there's that.
At least there's that. It was a calm week, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
no major, actually, no new natural disasters this week.
Whoa. You're right. That's weird. I forgot.
Just fall out from the last ones.
I saw a joke on, I guess, I saw it on Facebook, but it was a picture of a Tumblr post. You know how that goes.
Yep.
But, like, remember a few years ago when we had that Large Hadron Collider? And, like, it, like, broke, kind of, or whatever happened. And then people were like, cool, at least, like, nothing weird or reality shifting happened. Like maybe we should revisit that idea. And I'm like, yo, what if the Large Hadron Collider did, like, shift reality? Like, we're in the Baron Stern Bears reality or whatever they are. And,
it's like, the Baron Stern Bears.
I was like,
they do not forgive. They do not forget.
good lord. But it reminds me, is there a trope for when a good guy's trying to write something and the bad guy just doesn't want to lose so bad that they, like, hit the bad guy and it causes a bigger disaster?
I don't know if there's a trope for it. Can you think of an example?
Well, I have an example, but I didn't want to go into it first. Basically, I was reading, it was that Sonic Mega Man crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And they use this emeralds to go Super Mega Man and Sonic, of course, because it's a Sonic thing. And they use that move Chaos Control, and Mega Man successfully takes his whole group back to their reality and retcons the whole thing so that it never happened in his reality. So it's just a weird event that you had to suffer through as a Mega Man fan. but as Sonic's like, okay, time to hit Chaos Control, Eggman's like, no, you're not going to beat me again this time. And he, like, bumps him, which, like, causes, like, a reality, like, causes him to, like, fail the Chaos Control or whatever, which, whatever, we're making up rules and powers. Why not do this? But it causes, like, all that's what basically was how they did their new 52 of, like, hey, if you have ever read a Sonic comic in the last 20 years or played a video game, everything's canon. Pretty much, it's all canon, and it's all not canon, pretty much. But it's like, yo, he screwed up the world by, like, causing this, like, break. So basically, I was thinking, yo, if we all was like, guys, the Large Hadron Collider basically shifted reality, all we gotta do is run that again, and we'll fix it. So, like, all the floods that have happened through, like, the rain.
Like, it's like a Tesseract, kind of. Like.
Yeah. So it's not that it, like, poofs it and it's all gone, but it's like, oh, hey, the water just seems to be, like, draining at a pretty alarmingly good rate for once. You know, all those fires are going out on the West Coast. That volcano that's erupting is kind of just going to start receding again. And, like, oh, man, it looks like Trump's going to get impeached and, like, all this stuff. Like, there's all this data coming out from, like, the Russian hacks. I was like, uh-oh, because, like, if we found out that was happening by, like, spinning the Hadron Collider the other way, like, we just, like, put it through three cycles, I was like, the United States is going to launch nukes at it, like... And I'm like, that's going to destroy the world, maybe the universe, depending on what that power is. I don't know how that science works. And Trump's like, no, it'll be huge. It'll be a good fix. You know, they have so many problems over there. We need to just blow them up. And you're like, actually, no. We're all going to die if you do that. You being president's not the best reality. We're trying to go back to the real one. And I was like...
For what it's worth, nuking the Large Hadron Collider would not do anything but nuke the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I don't know what they have over there. For all I know, they could have, like, some kind of magic crystals over there. Obama chuckled. You mean the Chaos Emerald? Oh. Can I tell you what I saw?
Tell me.
So, my lady friend and I, she has introduced me to British Bake Off for the Great British Baking Show.
Yes.
Great show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were having a laugh, and I'm like, I wonder if there's fan fiction for this on an archive of our own. And she's like, probably. So my ass couldn't take that as a, okay, so I had to go look.
I was going to say, I almost 100% guarantee that there is.
There's some bad stuff there. People have some problems, man. Like,
people are fucked up.
It's a nice little show. It's like, you know, for those who don't know, it's like your American Idol kind of show, like The Voice, but with baking. the hosts.
And everyone
are cool.
loves each other.
Yeah, it's just, it's so nice. And one of the, like, the third fanfic has, like, it was, like, rated with, like, extreme violence. And I'm like, how? Why? like highly
it's like
explicit.
An AU of, it's like the Atomic Blonde AU of Great British Breaking Bake Off.
I don't know. The first two were crossovers with Harry Potter. One was a Rogue One crossover where basically, she's like, the writer was like, I want people to have justice. Like, the Rogue One cast deserved better. So I think Jin got to, like, bake a cake for, like, Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry, which, like, this is nice and sweet. And the very next one had, as one of the tags, cake felching.
Oh!
And I'm like, I just did...
I'm kink-shaming.
I'm kink-shaming, but I don't know what the meme is, but it's like when you put, like, all your fingers together with that little bridge, like... Or, like, you do, like, little prayer motion, like, sir, what's wrong with you? Like, I don't know what that meme is, but it's, like, that's what I did. I'm, like, why does this exist? I'm kink-shaming you. And, like, it was the one that had violence in it. I'm, like, why? Why do we have to have, like, this cute show have BDSM and, like, anger and bad stuff in it? Not that BDSM is anger and bad stuff, but that was also, like, in the text. It was, like,
understand.
So that's what I got this week.
Nice. Oh, I did get one exciting thing. I remembered now. I haven't had a chance to read it yet because of the aforementioned busyness. But Rainbow Rowell, who wrote one of my favorite, not actually a Harry Draco fanfic, but very based on them, YA books called Carry On. She is now writing Runaways for Marvel.
Nice.
So, I am excited to read it once I actually sit down and open the comic book. But that's it. Nice. That's really all I got this week.
Jazzy. I look forward to hearing what you have to think about it.
Yes.
Oh, and the Emmys are on tonight, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Donald Glover's looking cool as, he looks like Lando.
I saw the Stranger Things cast all looked pretty sharp.
Am I the only person that didn't find that charming what Winona Ryder was doing? I found it...
The weird eyeballs at the...
Yeah, I found that deeply disconcerting.
Yeah, I thought it was really strange.
Okay.
I found it funny, but not, like, charming.
Yeah. Anyway, it is what it is.
Yep.
Social media time.
Hit it.
So you want to hear us more often. Say this episode wasn't enough. You've heard this before, you want to hear some more. You can find us on any podcast catcher you want. Just search Character Reveal. Or you can find us on characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You know, so find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. It is what it is. You can find us on Facebook by searching Character Reveal. You'll know the logo. You can find us on Twitter at Character Rev. So 2 R's in the middle. You can find me everywhere on the internet, including Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. EST, and Instagram, whatever the hell, at Brother Dom. That's THA, not ER. I know what I said. You can find Steph also in a lot of places. You can find her on Tumblr at The Snow Queer, on Twitter at Captain Steph. And Instagram is what, like, Hella Stuff, I think it is.
Yep.
Yeah, see, you got the stuff going on. I got the Dom going on. Branding, hashtag branding. You can be super nice and support us over at Patreon, patreon.com/characterville. Every little bit helps. Help us get to more cons, get some more games to review and talk about. Maybe books, comics, DVDs, that sort of thing. Help us get to giveaways and that kind of jazz. And we also write for Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. It's an intersectional feminist blog. ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. We both had nice posts this past week. I had my review of Sonic Mania, finally. If you listen to this, you know my opinion, but I think I raised some decent points in the post. It didn't need too many wild edits, which was nice for once. And you wrote something nice, I think.
Yeah, I wrote something that ended up needing a lot of edits, but it turned out good in the end. And I wrote a post about the whole all-lady Lord of the Flies.
Oh, yes.
Kind of thing, kind of bouncing off of your original post about, like, when someone's gender is incidental to the character versus
when it's
necessary.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you linked like two of my posts. I was like, oh man, I'm actually starting to get like a portfolio.
Oh.
I felt honored.
Yes. So.
Well, that's good. And then we have some stuff coming up next week. I'm not sure what I'm going to write about. Either something about like doing a nostalgic reboot, or I might write that Rick and Morty piece, or like something about like Overwatch. Bridging, like, hardcore gamers with casual gamers, you know, like, technical proficiency with fandom culture, so, you know, who knows? Lots of ideas.
The real question is, will this episode be up early enough for this to be a foretelling of the future, or just letting you know what's up to read right now?
I don't know. I don't even know if my post goes up. My post could be going up today, like, not tomorrow, obviously, but this...
We would have yelled at you already if it was going up tomorrow.
It's due on Wednesday. this will be easier to edit, and I won't have as many, like, technical problems, so... anyway, well, thanks for hanging out with us another time, listeners, and we hope to talk to you soon, and until next time, see you later.
Bye.